Good evening, folks. QST, this is Marty, WV5Y. It's once again time for another edition of the Houston AmSat Net. This net meets on Tuesdays to discuss topics related to satellites, balloons, and other amateur-related items. This is net number 1580, and it's 8 p.m. Central Time on Tuesday, September the 17th, 2024, which in UTC time is Wednesday, September the 18th at 0100. And this net is a directed net, and all calls should go through net control. And this net is dedicated to Andy McAllister, W5ACM. And thanks to Joe, W5BSA, we're on the 145.19 repeater here in West Houston. The PL tone is 123.0. And I will now take local check-ins.
Whiskey Delta 5, Juliet Romeo Delta, WD5 JRD, Carl here. Good evening.
Good evening, Carl. Glad to have you aboard there. WD5JRD up there in Jersey Village in the northwest part of town. We got anybody else out there? Okay, well, we'll try to take a standby about halfway through the net here and see if we have any more local late check-ins there. Let's see. We're going to start with a little bit of South Texas balloon launch information, our normal announcement, and that's regarding their meeting that they have on the second Wednesday every month, and that is usually about 4:30 in the afternoon at a local restaurant, and then they meet again same night there on Zoom at 8 p.m. Central Time, and that's at k5wh.net/Zoom. So we appreciate Walter putting that on there for us. All right, we want to remind everybody that you can call and check in at this net with a quick phone check-in by calling 713-467-9870. You can send an email. That's to wv5y@comcast.net. And an APRS message to West Virginia 5 Yankee with no dashes and no numbers, as Andy's like to say. And that will work as well. So this is Marty, WV5Y and the Houston AmSat Net. Okay, we're heading over here to the ANS bulletins, the AmSat News Service weekly bulletins. And we have actually a special bulletin that came out on September the 16th, yesterday. And the special bulletin is the results of the 2024 AmSat Board of Directors election. The AmSat News Service Bulletins are a free weekly news and information service of AmSat, the Radio Amateur Satellite Corporation. ANS publishes news related to amateur radio in space, including reports and activities of a worldwide group of amateur radio operators who share an active interest in designing, building, launching, and communicating to analog and digital amateur radio satellites. And the news feed on www.amsat.org publishes news of amateur radio in space as soon as our volunteers can post it. So please send any amateur satellite news or reports to ans-editor@amsat.org. And you can sign up for a free email delivery of the AmSat News Service bulletins via the ANS list. To join the list, you go to mailman.amsat.org/pastorius/lists/ans.amsat.org. All right. Let's see, like I said, starting off here with the results of the 2024 AMSAT Board of Directors election. And the AMSAT Board of Directors election period ended on September the 15th, 2024. As a result of the election, Mark Hammond, MH, Paul Stotzer, NAHM, and Bruce Page, KK5DO, have been duly elected to a two-year term on the Board of Directors. And Douglas Tabor, N6UA, and Frank Kanoskis, N1UW, will serve as alternate directors for a term of 1 year. Okay, the final tallied results of the membership for the AMSAT Board of Directors for 2024-25 is Barry Baines, WD4ASW, Jerry Buxton, N0JY, Drew Glassbrenner, KO4MA, Mark Hammond, N8MH, Zach Mettinger, N0ZGO, Bruce Page, KK5VO, Paul Stotzer, N8HM, Douglas Tabor, N6UA, is the first alternate, and Frank Kanoskis, N1UW, is the second alternate. And we want to thank all who participated in this year's Board of Directors election process. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y, and the Houston AMSATnet. Registration continues for the 42nd Annual AMSAT Space Symposium and Annual General Meeting, and that will be held Friday through Saturday, well, actually through Sunday, October 25th to 27th, 2024, at the DoubleTree by Hilton, Tampa, Rocky Point Waterfront in Tampa, Florida. Okay, highlights of all the scheduled events include the AMSAT Board of Directors meeting, the 42nd AMSAT Space Symposium and Annual General Meeting, which is on Friday and Saturday, the Friday night social and auction on October the 25th, the AMSAT banquet and reception, which is on Sunday night, October the 26th, then there's the AMSAT Ambassador Breakfast, which all are welcome to, and that's in the morning on October the 27th, Sunday. Says note, if you wish to register guests for the banquet and or breakfast who are not attending the symposium sessions, you must register for each event separately and include your guests with your banquet and breakfast tickets.
This is the W5BSA repeater.
Okay, and if you're interested in presenting or submitting a paper for inclusion in the symposium proceedings, please see the call for papers. And you can do that by going to amsat.org/2024-symposium/call-4-papers-2024. This is important. The deadline for symposium registrations, if you want to include the Saturday evening banquet or Sunday breakfast, is Friday, October the 18th. So that's in a month and a day. Meals cannot be ordered after that date. Okay, and if you'd like the direct link for registration, can go to launch.amsat.org/event-5833792. Of course, thanks to Bruce, the URLs are available. You can just go over to amsatnet.com and click on the document and click on the links there that you're interested in. So we appreciate Bruce putting those up there for us. Okay, they have made some deals for the symposium with hotel reservations. There's a standard room rate with two queen beds that's been negotiated. It's $169 plus state and local taxes of 14.5%. Rooms may be available for check-in on Wednesday, October the 23rd, and check-out on Sunday, October the 27th. And rooms can be reserved online by going to www.hilton.com/en/attend-my-event/radio-amateur-satellite. Okay, reservations may also be made by phone at 813-888-8800. And you can just reference AMSAT to receive the group rate. And if you're planning on driving the symposium or renting a car, parking charges are $20 per night for overnight parking. And we here at AMSAT are excited to be able to host our 42nd annual symposium this year. We hope that you can join us in celebrating amateur radio in space. Okay, then we have a kind of a breakdown of the schedule of events here. Let's see, on Thursday, October the 24th, from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. is the AMSAT board meeting. And then from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. is the pre-registration check-in. Friday, October the 25th, from 8 a.m. to noon is the AMSAT board meeting. That's a closed session. Then from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. is registration. 1 p.m. to 1:15 p.m. AMSAT symposium kickoff with the president's welcome. And then 1:15 p.m. to 5 p.m. is the paper sessions and the presentations. Okay, then after that, from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. is an informal dinner on your own. And then come back at 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. for an AMSAT reception and the auction. And there is a cash bar available. Okay, then Saturday, October the 26th, from 8 a.m. to 11:45 a.m. is registration. From 8 a.m. to 8:15 a.m. will be the AMSAT Symposium Welcome. And then from 8:15 a.m. till noon is the paper sessions. And let's see, we've got also more of those from 1 p.m. to 3:15 p.m. is also the paper sessions and presentations. Okay, then from 3:30 p.m. to 4:45 p.m. is the AMSAT annual meeting and awards ceremony. And then from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m., attitude adjustment, the social, is the cash bar. And then the dinner banquet is from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m., the AMSAT banquet with also a cash bar. And usually we'll hear what menu is going to be, but we'll wait a little bit closer until we get those details. Then Sunday, October the 27th, from 7:30 a.m., bright and early, till 9 a.m., is the AMSAT Ambassador Breakfast, and all are welcome to that event. And ANS thanks the AMSAT Symposium Committee for that information. This is Marty, WV5Y, in the Houston AMSAT Net. And we want to have the call for papers for information for presenting or sessions that are going to be made there at the symposium. Papers continue to be accepted for the 42nd Annual AMSAT Space Symposium to be held on the weekend of October 25th through 27th at the DoubleTree by Hilton Tampa Rocky Point Waterfront in Tampa, Florida. Proposals for symposium papers and presentations are invited on any topic of interest to the satellite community. Okay, they request a tentative title of the presentations as soon as possible with final copy submitted by October the 18th for inclusion in the symposium proceedings. And abstracts and papers should be sent to Dan Schultz, N8FGV, and that's nhfgv@usa.net. And we will thank Dan Schultz, N8FGV, AMSAT Symposium Proceedings Editor, for that information. This is Marty, WV5Y, and the Houston AMSAT Net. This looks like a good time. We got that check-in there just now off the phone lines. That was from Vern, WA0RCR. Of course, he's over there in Wentzville, Missouri. And thanks to him, you can hear our net on the weekends on Saturday night on the top band, down on 1.860 megahertz, full carrier AM, as Vern likes to say, and that's at 5:30 p.m. and 9 p.m. Central Time on Saturday. So be sure and check us out and check out how 160 meters is doing. And so we appreciate Vern doing that for us. Okay, we did hear from Charlie, K5ENG, a little earlier there, and so we got him checked in. Sounds like he's doing good over there, so it's always a good thing to hear. And, of course, he's over in the west part of Houston. And then thanks to Dale, WD0AK, up there in Moorhead, Minnesota. He does the backup archiving of the audio for the website, and we appreciate him doing that for us. We have had to use it there in the past. We got Willie, KD5CEV. He called there on the phone line just a little bit before the net started, and we got him checked in, and hopefully he's able to copy the repeater and get into it from where he's at these days. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y, and the Houston AMSAT Net. Let's see, we've got Kai, N6ZZO. He's over there in McKinleyville, California, and he's our podcast listener and checks in there via the phone lines there on when he listens on the next day. So we appreciate him doing that. Okay, looks like we don't have any check-ins there from APRS at the moment. Let's see, from IRC, the Internet Relay Chat System, we have Ken, AK0A, Clay, KG4OZW, Brian, KG4WIJ, Renee, NZ9T, and Bob, K8WX. And then from Echolink, we've got Mitch, 80HJ, and of course, thanks to Mitch, there's the Wednesday night AMSAT.net that you can take place and participate in. So we appreciate Mitch putting that on for us, and that takes place on DMR on the AMSAT Digital Talk Group 98006 or YSF Fusion 11689. And that happens at 9 p.m. Central Time on Wednesdays. So we appreciate Mitch putting on the AMSAT DMR net there for us. Okay, let's see. We've got Steve, KA5YFC, Bob, K9OIM. We've got MTC. He's up there in Long Beach, California. Good evening to him. Loda Bruce, KK5DO, up there in Roman Forest, in the north power of town. There's Damien in AG9P. He's over there in Oconto, Wisconsin. Good evening to him. We've got HI3VLM, and that's Victor. Good evening to Victor. And he's in the Dominican Republic. And we've got Nathan, KL5RZ. So good evening to those folks. And we got you checked in to the Houston AMSAT net. And, of course, the number to call and check in is 713-467-9870. APRS message to WV5Y. And that email, it's WV5Y at Comcast.net.
DL-123.
All right. This is Marty, WV5Y with the Houston AmSatNet. Let's see. We've got F. Brent Abbott, NA7D. Chief Revenue Officer of Rogue Space Systems to keynote at the AMSAT Space Symposium Banquet. F. Brent Abbott, NA7D, Chief Revenue Officer of Rogue Space Systems, will keynote at the AMSAT Space Symposium Banquet to be held on Saturday, October the 26th. Brent has been the Chief Revenue Officer of Rogue Space Systems, responsible for growth since July 2022. Before Rogue, Brent stood up the nano satellite manufacturer, Nano Avionics U.S. office and factory as CEO, and grew the U.S. business. Before joining Nano Avionics, Brett was the CEO and head of North American operations for AAC Clyde Space. Prior to that, he helped set up and held several senior roles at Surrey Satellite Technologies U.S., that's SST-US, He also started the hosted payload program at SSTUS with the world's first all-commercial hosted payload satellite, OTB-1, or the Orbital Testbed. Prior to joining Surrey in 2008, Brent served as business development manager at Honeywell Defense and Space and invented their miniature momentum control system using control moment gyros. His background also includes work as an engineer at Honeywell Commercial Aviation. Mr. Abbott is a registered professional engineer and graduated with a Bachelor of Science degree in Electrical Engineering from Iowa State University. Brent, NA7D, is a member of AMSAT and has been an amateur radio operator since 1992. And we want to thank AMSAT Symposium team for that information. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y, with the Houston AMSAT Net. Hey, the 2024 coins are still available. You can help support Golf and Fox Plus. You can join the AMSAT President's Club today. And the URL is www.amsat.org/join-the-amsat-presidents-club. And the July-August 2024 issue of the AMSAT Journal is now available. So you can go download that at the AMSAT member portal, and that's at launch.amsat.org/v_AMSAT_journal. Okay, inside the current issue of the AMSAT Journal, we have the Apogee View, which is the viewpoint from the President, Robert Bankston, KE4AL. And then we've got Paul Graveline, K1YUB, is a silent key, unfortunately. So we've got info about that. We have an update, decoding the message from a sign in space, a year-long journey from the SETI Institute. Okay, we've got some results there for Bruce, the 2024 AMSAT Field Day results. So he's probably got some good pictures in there, too. So we'll see those there from Bruce. And who was at the top of the list there as far as the satellite Field Day operators went this year. And then we've also got the AMSAT Awards by Bruce Page, also KK5DO. All right, there's an article on the effects of space weather in ham radio communications by Gazelle M. Galvan Tejada. And then there's the desktop satellite tracker by Zeke Wheeler, KN7JLL. And the journal celebrates AMSAT Oscar 7. And that article is by Paul Stotzer, NHM. And we want to thank Joe Kronowski, KB6IGK, AMSAT Journal Editor-in-Chief, for that information. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y, and the Houston AMSAT Net. Let's see, we do have some changes to the AMSAT TLE distribution for September the 13th, 2024. No, take that back. I'd say we do not have any changes to this week's distribution. But two-line elements, or TLEs, often referred to as Keplerian elements, or KEPs in the amateur community, are the inputs to the SGP-4 standard mathematical model of spacecraft orbits used by most amateur tracking programs. So that's the file you need to update about once every week or so to keep the position of your satellites current in your programs. Weekly updates are completely adequate for most amateur satellites. TLE bulletin files are updated Thursday evenings around 2300 UTC, or more frequently if new high-interest satellites are launched. You can find more information at www.amsat.org/Keplerian-elements-resources. So we want to thank Joe Fitzgerald, KM1P, AMSAT Orbital Elements Manager, for letting us know there are no changes to this week's distribution. Hey, do you need new satellite antennas? You can purchase an M2 LEO pack from the AMSAT store. And when you purchase through AMSAT, you get a discount that they have arranged, and a portion of the proceeds goes towards keeping amateur radio in space. And the URL for that, of course, it's amsat.org/product-category/hardware. All right, this is Marty, WV5Y in the Houston AmSat Net, and we're right here at the bottom of the hour, so we're going to take a quick standby and see if we have any more local check-ins on the 145.19 repeater with 123.0 negative offset shift and a PL. So any check-ins, come now. All right, guess we got everybody aboard for this evening. Amateurs and others around the world may listen in on contacts between amateurs operating in schools and allowing students to interact with astronauts and cosmonauts aboard the International Space Station. And the downlink frequency on which to listen in to the action is 145.800 megahertz worldwide. Okay, there is a sailing event in Moscow, Russia, and the ISS call sign is scheduled to be R0ISS with scheduled crew member Alexander Griboykin, RZ3DSE, and the Aris Mentor is RV3DR. The contact is Saturday, 9/21/2024 at 16:25 UTC.
PL-123.
Okay, and there's another contact taking place in Amur State University in Bangladesh, Russia. ISS call sign scheduled to be RS0ISS with crew member Ivan Wagner. All right, the Aris Mentor for this one is RV3DR Alpha, and contact is Tuesday, 9/24/2024 at 09:25 UTC. And then from Tatarstan, Russia, the ISS call sign is scheduled to be RS0ISS. Scheduled crew member is Alexei Ovechkin, and the Aris Mentor is RV3DR, and the contact is Friday, 9/27/2024 at 13:20 UTC. As always, though, if there is an EVA, a docking or an undocking, the Aris radios are turned off as part of the safety protocol. The crossband repeater, though, continues to be active on the ISS. It's on 145.990 megahertz up with a PL tone of 67, and you listen on the downlink frequency of 437.800 megahertz. If any crew member is so inclined, all they have to do is pick up the mic, raise the volume up, and they can talk on the crossband repeater. So give a listen. You just never know when you might actually be able to talk to an astronaut. And note, all times are approximate. It's recommended you do your own orbital predictions or start listening about 10 minutes before our listed times. And the latest information on the operation mode for the ISS can be found at www.aris.org/current-status-of-iss-stations.html. And the latest list of frequencies in use aboard the ISS can be found at www.aris.org/contact-the-iss.html. And we want to thank Charlie Safana, AJ9N, one of the Aeris operation team mentors for that information. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y, with the Houston AmSat Net. We do have some upcoming satellite operations taking place. A growing number of satellite rovers are currently engaged in sharing their grid square activations, and that's on hams.at. By visiting the website, you gain easy access to comprehensive information about the operators responsible for activating specific grid squares. Additionally, you have the ability to assess the match score between yourself and a particular rover for a given pass, while also being able to identify the upcoming satellite passes that are accessible from your location. Jim, WU0I, will be conducting a rove until September 22nd. Jim does not do X, so if you need to set up a sked or whatever, please use the email address shown below. Hams.at might be worth monitoring, but there was not direct mention of it in his email. And let's see, we want to thank Ian Parsons, K5ZM, AmSat Rover Page Manager, for that information. Okay, well, we are able to zoom in on the graphic there, but when the text gets too illegible to read, if I zoom it in far enough. So, let's see, just go to hams.at, and hopefully you'll find some information about Jim, WU0I. But we want to thank Ian Parsons, K5ZM, AmSat Rover Page Manager, for that information. Hey, you want to fly the colors on your own grid expedition? You can get an AmSat car flag and other neat stuff from our Zazzle store. And 25% of the purchase price of each product goes towards keeping amateur radio in space. And the URL is www.zazzle.com/store/AmSat_gear. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y, in the Houston AmSat Net. And we've got some AmSat Ambassador activities coming up. AmSat Ambassadors provide presentations, demonstrate communicating to amateur satellites, and host information tables at club meetings, hamfests, conventions, maker fairs, and other events. And AmSat Ambassador Clint Bradford, K6LCS, says, "Think a 75-minute presentation on working the easy satellites would be appropriate for your club or event? Let me know by emailing me at k6lcscle@gmail.com or calling at 909-999-7287. Clint has never given the exact same show twice. Each of the 150-plus presentations so far has been customized and tailored to his audiences. Okay, we've got the list of scheduled events that are coming up in the foreseeable future. We've got the Central Kentucky Ham Fest, October the 5th, 2024, in Lexington, Kentucky. And there will be an AmSat and Educational AmSat for, Satellite Forum and an information table by AI4SR and W4FCL. Also on October the 5th, there's the North Star Radio Convention at the Hennepin Technical College North Campus in Brooklyn Park, Minnesota. It's an AMSAT forum and information table by K0JM and Mitch 80HJ. We have the Radio Society of Tucson, also on October the 5th, at the Calvary Tucson Church, 7811 East Speedway in Tucson, Arizona. And the URL, it's k7rst.club/2024-07/tucson-autumn-ham-fest-2024. And that will be by N1UW. Okay, then there's PacificCon 2024, the ARRL Pacific Division Conference. That's October 18th through the 20th, 2024, in San Ramon, California. And look for WU0I there. Okay, then there's the 2024 AMSAT Space Symposium, an annual general meeting, October 25th through the 27th. 2024 at the DoubleTree by Hilton Tampa Rocky Point Waterfront Hotel at 3050 North Rocky Point Drive West, Tampa, Florida 33607. The Stone Mountain Ham Fest, the ARRL State Convention, November 2nd through the 3rd at Stone Mountain, Georgia. And K4RGK should be there. Then we've got the Oro Valley Amateur Radio Club, November 9th, 2024, at the Marana Middle School at 11285 West Greer Road, Marana, Arizona, 85653. And the URL is www.tucsonhamradio.org/copy-of-hamfest-2022, and that's by N1UW. And then we've got happening next year, the Yuma HamCon, February 20th through the 22nd, 2025, in Yuma, Arizona. And you should see N1UW at that one. And we want to thank Bo Lowry, W4FCL, Director of AMSAT Ambassador Program, for those listings. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y, and the Houston AMSAT Net. Yeah, I think we had a bit of a lunar eclipse that was going on this evening, so hope folks got a chance to step outside and check out a little bit of that action there that was going on with the moon. PLD Space is currently offering student satellite launches at no cost. Information can be found at spark-program.pace.com/en. And we'll thank Joanne, K9JKM, for the tip on that one. And congratulations to our newest Gridmaster, Ryan, KI7QEK, earned award number 71. And we want to thank Bruce Page, KK5DO, AMSAT Director of Contests and Awards, for letting us know about that. Of course, that Gridmaster award is not easy to get. That's for making contact with every grid in the continental United States. I think there's like 488 of them by satellite. So it's a good job on that one. Okay, another AMSAT VUCC/R or reverse VECC award was also issued this past week. Number 17 goes to Leticia, LU5ILA. She has been very active roving in South America with 106 grids activated on satellite. And we want to also thank Bruce Page, KK5DO, AMSAT Director and Contest Awards for the information on that one.
W5BSA repeater.
Okay, AMSAT's operation team, in coordination with the University of Maine and AMSAT Engineering, continues to work to complete MESAT-1's science mission. More telemetry coverage is needed. If you have UHF receive capability, please download FoxTelem and help us capture more data. And ANS thanks AMSAT for the information. And you can download FoxTelem from www.amsat.org/TLM. Okay, you can join AMSAT today by going to launch.amsat.org. And in addition to regular membership, AMSAT offers membership to societies, which is a recognized group, club, or organization. Primary and secondary school students are eligible for membership at one-half the standard yearly rate. And post-secondary school students enrolled in at least half-time status shall be eligible for the student rate for a maximum of 6 post-secondary years in the status. Memberships are available also for annual and lifetime terms. You can contact info@amsat.org for additional membership information. Okay, we got 73, and remember to help keep amateur radio in space. That's from this week's ANS editor, Paul Stotzer at 8HM. That's n8hm@awrl.net. And the ANS, AMSAT News Service, is the service of AMSAT, the Radio Amateur Satellite Corporation, which they reside at 712 H Street, NE, Suite 1653, Washington, D.C., 20002. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y, and the Houston AMSAT Net. All right, after a few days ago, we had that first private spacewalk take place for the private astronauts that were up there, and they say it was an emotional experience. And this is from Washington, September the 17th, 2024, from Space Daily. The commander of the daring space voyage that included the first ever spacewalk by private astronauts described opening the hatch into the void as an emotional experience that left him in awe, yet deeply aware of the dangers. Jared Isaacman, the 41-year-old founder and CEO of Shift for Payments, led the recently concluded SpaceX Polaris Dawn mission, where a team of four ventured farther into the cosmos than any humans in half a century. On the mission's third day in orbit, Isaacman and crewmate Sarah Gillis, a SpaceX engineer, conducted the first extravehicular activity, or EVA, by non-government astronauts, marking a giant leap forward for the commercial space industry. What an emotional experience, a sensory overload, Isaacman said during a space on social media site X on Tuesday. There's the physical exertion, there's the pressure changes, temperature changes, it gets a little cold, and then of course the overwhelming visual sensation when you see Earth with no kind of barrier between you other than the visor that's in front of you. Since Soviet cosmonaut Alexei Leonov performed the first spacewalk in 1965, national space agencies have executed hundreds of EVAs. Isaacman and Gillis gripped onto a hatch structure called Skywalker for the few minutes they each spent partly outside their Dragon spacecraft, while government astronauts have carried out far more daring feats, including floating away on a tether or flying jetpacks untethered. But Isaacman's importance of his commercial endeavor was the benefit it brought to accelerating the evolution of SpaceX's next-generation spacesuit as Elon Musk company sets its sights on the colonization of Mars. He added that while he was overwhelmed by the planet's beauty, the experience was far from peaceful. This is a hard, very threatening environment, he said, likening his experience to that of early maritime explorers sailing to the ends of the Earth. Crewmate Gillis, who followed Isaacman outside, didn't have the same stunning views of Earth. Still, the classically trained violinist was thrilled as she recapped the experience of playing a rousing rendition of Ray's theme by Star Wars composer John Williams. Bringing a violin into space came with its own set of challenges. Gillis had to use a smaller bow, and the instrument underwent rigorous testing to ensure it could withstand exposure to the vacuum during the spacewalk, as the Dragon spacecraft lacks an airlock. It was so interesting to be able to play an instrument in space, she said. There were so many instances where you're just trying to keep it still enough that you can actually play successfully. The violin will be auctioned off, along with copies of a children's book authored by astronaut Anna Menon and read from space to raise funds for St. Jude's Hospital.
BL-123.
Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y, and the Houston AmSatNet. Okay, we got to check in there off the phone line, And that was from Andrew, KC5LWY. He's down there in Galveston there, running the ferries there between Galveston and Bolivar Peninsula. So appreciate him taking the diligence there to call and check in there when he got his couple of minutes off there. So appreciate that, and I hope he has a good night out there. Okay, well, those private astronauts definitely did come back, and the private astronaut mission ended with a splashdown off of Florida. SpaceX Polaris Dawn mission, which made history when its crew conducted the first spacewalk by non-government astronauts, concluded early Sunday with a splashdown off the coast of Florida. The Dragon spacecraft plunged into the ocean at 3:37 a.m. or 07:37 GMT. A webcast of the arrival showed with a recovery team deploying in the pre-dawn darkness to retrieve the capsule and crew. The capsule was lifted from the water and onto the recovery vessel half an hour later. After brief medical checks, a smiling and waving SpaceX engineer Anna Menon was the first of the crew to exit, followed by engineer Sarah Gillis, pilot Scott Poteet, and commander Jared Isaacman. A helicopter was due to transport them to land. Happy, healthy home, the Polaris program wrote on X. A new era of commercial spaceflight dawns, with much, much more to come. The four-member team, led by fintech billionaire Isaacman, launched Tuesday from the Kennedy Space Center, quickly journeying deeper into the cosmos than any humans in the past half century as they ventured into the dangerous Van Allen radiation belt. They hit a peak altitude of 870 miles, or 1,400 kilometers, more than three times higher than the International Space Station, and the furthest humans had ever traveled from Earth since the Apollo missions to the Moon. Then on Thursday, with their Dragon spacecraft's orbit brought down to 434 miles, Isaacman swung open the hatch and climbed out into the void, gripping a structure called Skywalker as the breathtaking view of Earth unfolded before him. SpaceX, back at home, we have a lot of work to do, but from here, Earth sure looks like a perfect world, he told Mission Control in Hawthorne, California, where teams erupted in applause. He went back inside after a few minutes and was replaced by a second astronaut, SpaceX engineer Gillis, who, like Isaacman, performed a series of mobility tests on SpaceX's sleek next-generation suits. Since Dragon doesn't have an airlock, the entire crew were exposed to the vacuum of space. Mission pilot Poteet and SpaceX engineer Menon remained strapped in throughout as they monitored vital support systems. It marked a giant leap forward for the commercial space industry, said NASA Chief Bill Nelson, as well as another triumphant achievement for SpaceX. Founded in 2002, the company has quickly outpaced its legacy competitors, now thriving as one of NASA's prime contractors, thanks to a large part to owner and CEO Elon Musk. Fervent drive to colonize Mars. Since completing their extravehicular activity, the crew have continued to carry out roughly 40 science experiments, for example, inserting endoscopic cameras through their noses and into their throats to image their airways and better understand the impact of long-duration space missions on human health. They also demonstrated connectivity with SpaceX's Starlink Internet satellite constellation by sending back to ground control a high-resolution video of Gillis playing Ray's theme by Star Wars composer John Williams on the violin. Polaris Dawn is the first of three missions under the Polaris program, a collaboration between Isaacman and SpaceX. Financial terms of the partnership remain under wraps, but Isaacman, the 41-year-old founder and CEO of Shift for Payments, reportedly poured $200 million of his own money into leading the 2021 all-civilian SpaceX Exploration 4 orbital mission. The final Polaris mission aims to be the first crewed flight of SpaceX's Starship, a prototype next-generation rocket that is key to Musk's interplanetary ambitions. Okay, we're out of time here, so we hope everybody enjoyed this week's version of the Houston AmSat.net. We look forward to catching everybody next week. So from Andy, W5ACM, who's up there somewhere, and Bruce, KK5DO, in Roman Forest, we say stay safe, keep playing with those radios, making lots of satellite contacts, and we catch everybody next week from Marty, WV5Y, and the Houston AmSat.net 73.